The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hurricane Harvey is about to be the second most costly natural disaster in U.S. history, trailing only the devastation from Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Yesterday, we had a chemical plant have a couple of explosions because there's no electricity. The chemicals that were made there needed refrigeration. They hit critical temperature yesterday and blew up. The gas, I wouldn't call it a gas panic, but people are a little freaked out here. I looked on the app, the gas app today, to find out which gas stations around me have gasoline. In my neighborhood, there were three.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
What? That had gas?
That had gas, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They all started well,
on my being shipped
on my
in. App, there were three okay. gas stations.
That's pretty good.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're living in some nice place that they're shipping it in, but I need to know about it. A friend of mine last night went to the gas station at 10 o'clock, didn't get home till 1 a.m. Here in the gas. But in Texas, this probably was preventable, and we'll tell you about that. And there is no reason to panic. Gas is coming. The waters are starting to recede. And there is a flotilla coming from Europe. The Europeans, try this on for size, are sending the United States refined gasoline. And it's on ships on its way here to the United States. There's a lot that's been happening this week. And we begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly's coming up in just about an hour. We also have the Deputy Prime Minister of Poland, who happens to be in town, and he's like, look, I swing by. I'm like, okay. So he's going to be, I don't know why he sounded like Dracula there for a second, but he's going to come by and talk a little bit about what's happening in Poland. What's really fascinating to me is Poland is, I believe, the only European country that has not had a terror attack. Oh, by the way, in completely unrelated news, they are also the only country that hasn't allowed any of the refugees in. But let's not concentrate on that. Also, Todd's
strange coincidence.
It is, and just a coincidence. There's no correlation. Todd Staples, also, he's the president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. He is going to be joining us today as well. I think, is anybody coming with me tomorrow? I'm going down to Galveston tomorrow. We're loading up. We can't get the gas to go down and offload, this tractor trailer full of water and food and blankets and everything else. So we're loading up the DC-9. And putting pallets of water and food and everything else. And we can get jet fuel. So we're going to fly into Houston tomorrow and offload and do some work in the kitchens tomorrow and help people try to get their life back.
And then just offload it onto the tarmac and just let people come get it there.
It's like, it's at the tarmac. Go ahead. We're going to Vegas now. Good luck. It's weird, this gas thing, how people, at least in my life, how people are now like, it's first thing this morning, my daughter, Dad, should we buy a Tesla? I'm like, just want a Tesla. Stop it.
It happens so fast, though. You go from, oh, I can get gas every minute of my life, it's the easiest thing in the world, to, oh my God, I'll never pull up to a pump again.
Well, that was the reaction, most of yesterday. But seriously, there was very few gas stations that didn't have gas
really?
On my way in this morning.
Okay, my experience, but.
Yeah, I did have several that I went to last night to try to put gas in my car. And of course, all of them had no gas. There's one gas station that had gas, and the line was. Yeah. A quarter mile down the street.
Well, that's what this woman that I know did last night. She went out 10 o'clock at night, and she's like, hey, they got gas there. I'm going to go get gas. She didn't get back home until 1 o'clock, and the gas station was right around the corner. She just stood in line. It's the gas crisis of the 1970s. I mean, just in a very, very light, short form here in Texas.
However, in the 1970s, you did not have Uber and Lyft. Which is how I got to work today.
Is that really how you got to work?
Yeah, because I was low enough that I was if I get here, I might not. If there's not a gas station right around here, I might run out.
See, that is the problem. That's why, you know, we're having to fly to Houston tomorrow, because if we bring these trucks and we all just pack it up in our cars, because that's what we're going to do, just caravan down, pack it up on our cars, we're not sure any of us can get back. Like, you can't. We might get gas here, then go down, and then come back. Are we going to make it? Are you going to have gas when you get back?
Should we buy a Tesla?
Yeah, I know. Yes, we should. Shouldn't we? There's just going to be so many things. When the crap really hits the fan, there's so many things that... For instance, this is why... what's his name? Carol Quigley, who wrote the book in the 1960s. What was that book? Quick, anybody? Carol Quigley.
We just talked about that the other day. No, yeah. It's the one that predicted there'd be no more war as we knew war. It would be a new kind of thing where nobody does it right.
Carol Quigley.
Remember that?
Yeah. This
Tragedy and Hope.
Book. What?
Tragedy
yes.
and Hope.
Tragedy and Hope.
Yeah,
the tragedy was the world wars that we had gone through, and then the hope was...
At the end of all wars, because we're tied together economically and financially, and there's no way we're going to have war. Of course, the only thing, one line in like an 800-page book, one line that just says this. The only problem is that, you know, the whole thing would collapse if the world would ever come against, you know, a barbarian kind of people that lived in caves and didn't care about a national order. Oh, okay.
Oh, so the other little problem is because we don't have the wars that are really serious, we'll just have perpetual war that will never end.
Yeah, but don't worry about that. That'll be small war.
A little teeny war that continues to kill for decades.
So last night, my son and I are talking about, he likes to have, you know, a little history off. And he's like, yeah, let me tell you about something. And so last night, I don't know much about ancient Greece, and last night he was telling me about the Trojan War. And he said, I should have been listening to him because now I can't remember if it was 16, I think it was 15 years or something like that. He said, Dad, the Trojan War, nobody made any ground until, you know, the Trojan horse. And I'm like, is the Trojan horse thing really even true? And he's like, yeah, it's true. And it's the only way that the Greeks made any headway was at that point. It was a stalemate. And he said it went on forever. It was like 15 years. And I said, you know, our country has been at war now for 16 years. Oh, boy. Stu is upset.
Come on with that.
What?
It's such a stupid stat. It's not a real statistic.
What?
It is not. It's a silly...
You're right. Oh, my gosh. Wait for this one. By the way, I don't really mean it this way. Just Stu is going to get really pissed off. Stu, the only reason why it's not a real statistic is because no president has actually declared it a war. If they would have declared it a war, then we would have been done with it and it... Yeah, but they don't even declare it because of the Federal Reserve.
That's not where I'm going. I'm sorry. Like you know, first of all, everyone always says that we're still in technical war in Korea.
Yes.
Right. So then if that's true, then it's not our longest war because Korea is still going on, which I think is a stupid technicality as well. And that's why this thing, I think, is a stupid technicality. For example, you know, yes, it is a war, and yes, it's important, and every single person that's over there fighting, I mean, like, it's incredible what they've done, and every time we lose someone, it is incredibly tragic. However, it is not comparable to World War II. It's not comparable to these previous wars because of the death toll. We have chosen, as a country, and again, I think this is part of what you talked about in Tragedy and Hope, is that we've chosen, as a country, to fight wars in a different way. And we have talked about it, how it's a lot harder to win. They take longer. We kill a lot less civilians. We get a lot less of our own troops killed. For example, we've lost more people this year in boating accidents, ship accidents, than we have during the war in Afghanistan. Now, is it a war? It is a war. And yes, technically it's still going on. However, it's a completely different, you cannot compare it.
I agree with you.
We would lose that in 5 minutes in World War II.
I agree with you. But I'd have to ask my son, Rafe, about the Greek War, I would imagine it was the same kind of thing, that the country was off to war and it wasn't really affecting the everyday people. When wars don't affect the everyday people, they tend to go on and on and on, and people don't really care because they're not really affected by it.
It's not, but it's not that you don't care. I mean, we all care about this.
I don't think the average person even really knows where we are. I don't think, and it's, I'm not saying it that they don't care, like, I don't care if anybody dies. It's not that. They don't care because it's not affecting them. They're not paying attention to it. You know, it's like, I don't know. Ask them, where are we? Why are we there? What's our objective? They won't know. The average person won't know. So I don't mean that it's like they don't care. They don't know what they don't even know. And nobody's made it important to them.
That's true. I mean, it's a totally different scale. I mean, back in World War II, we all knew. I didn't know. I mean, Jeffy certainly did.
Jeffy's children. Jeffy was starting to lose it about the time of World War II.
Yeah. So. Well, his great-grandchildren fought in that war, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, that was, I mean, the effect on communities and you know, it was horrific. And it, you know, any war is awful. You know, it's not to downplay it at all, but it's a situation where I think the media uses that stat that this is America's longest war just to be to criticize the military and say we're at war forever.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know, but that's right. But you're saying it maybe in a different way. But the stat in itself is meaningless when you compare it to other wars. If you're saying it's our longest war,
here's the thing.
Using that to compare it to other wars, and it's a meaningless comparison.
I don't want to be at war.
I don't want to be at war either.
I don't be at war. I don't want our military firing guns. I don't either.
No one does.
We're there to win it and win it quickly. I don't want them fired upon. I want a strong deterrence, but I don't want to be in conflict.
Of course.
When we're in conflict, I don't want to do what Carol Quigley in Tragedy and Hope suggested, and that was just fight it in a limited way, so then there's no real victor and no real pain anywhere because our economies all depend on each other. No. That's immoral. That's putting our economies over right and wrong. If a war is worth fighting, then fight it with everything that you have, kill it, and then come back.
Yeah, we just don't do that.
We don't.
We haven't done it since that book came out. Opposite of that.
He said in that book. And by the way, if you don't know Carol Quigley, he was a Harvard professor. He was a consultant, if you will, for, you know, all the way present. I think FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy. Then he came back for Nixon and maybe a little Ford. I'm not sure. But he was a close advisor to the presidents. And he was the guy who helped come up with the Cold War and mutually assured destruction and everything else. And he said the whole thing is changing. Now, the problem is that everything that Carol Quigley said was a solution is now our Achilles heel, because now you do have people who don't care about anarchy, who are we have them in our own streets. We don't have to worry about ISIS. We have them in our own streets. We have the Nazis calling for destruction of our government and our system. We have the anarchist and Antifa doing exactly the same thing. Hell, we have our own professors in our universities calling for that. Well, that is exactly what Carol Quigley said. This system cannot contain or fight against. It will lose. If that is the way the world is going, and it is, then we are sitting here as a sitting duck, just like the English were when they said, everybody, we're going to play by the rules. We're going to line up in rows, wear these really bright red jackets so everybody knows exactly where we are, and you just hold the line. They're behind the trees. You hold the line. They are not playing by the rules. We're playing by the rules. The West is playing by the rules. And when that happens, according to Carol Quigley, who helped set this globalization, you know, stuff up, that won't work. That won't work. It will destroy the system. Back in just a second, our sponsor this half hour is SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe's home security has a huge summer sale going on right now. It is the last week, and last weekend, you can get $100 off SimpliSafe summer package. You've been busy this summer. Things are about to, you know, settle back down. We're going to be at Christmas before you know it. You're going to be thinking about, gee, I got presents under the tree. I hope nobody breaks into our house. SimpliSafe right now has a summer package going on. It's a special that this is the biggest special they've ever run. You get $100 off that package if you use my name, Beck, at SimpliSafeBeck.com. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Everything you need to protect your home and your family. Stay safe around the clock. No long-term contracts, no installation, no hidden fees. 24/7 professional monitoring is $14.99 a month, and it's month by month. This is flexible, and it is the new way to protect your home. It's a simple way. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Sale ends this weekend. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
You're listening.
You're listening
to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
So here is something that you're not going to hear everywhere. Harvey is not a result of global warming. No.
You bastard.
No.
What?
No. And if for those of you like, oh, Glenn Beck, he's making excuses for global warming. No. No, it's bigger than global warming. This coming from a really good source, a website we've never heard of. And they lay out a pretty strong case. This is actually the federal government.
Hurricane Sandy was not a major hurricane, though it caused major damage. How many remember the scenario with Hurricane Sandy? Miraculously, weather forecasters somehow knew 7 days in advance that Hurricane Sandy would make an unprecedented 90-degree westerly turn exactly where
can
it
you,
did.
Can you stop
familiar?
For a second? Can you
sound
stop
familiar?
It does. Okay. So let me tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening to Pandora yesterday. And miraculously, this radio station just knows exactly what I want to hear. Miraculously, it just kind of sorts through all of my likes and dislikes. And it's miraculously just finding these songs. Is there someone living inside of my house that knows everything about me that's picking those things? Now, it could be AI. Or it could be somebody living in a house.
AI doesn't know that you only like Barbara Streisand.
Exactly right.
And AI
can I tell you something? Computer modeling and weather forecasting has not gotten better, as we know from Joe Bastardi yesterday. There is no way you can read those models.
No.
There's no way to predict the weather.
Right.
What? Come on. How did they all know in advance? It's like they have a giant industry to predict these things on a daily basis or something.
It's crazy. Oh, he
ties it all in here.
Climate engineering is not just a dangerous proposal. It's long since been a lethal reality for some 70 plus years. As Harvey was making landfall, the radio frequency microwave transmissions being used by the weather makers to manipulate Harvey were undeniable.
Thank you.
Deniable. You can't use that word if it is deniable.
No, can I tell you something? Did anyone in Houston area, did you notice that your microwaves were being used all of a sudden and you didn't have a bagel in it?
Why are you putting your bagel? You're microwaving your bagels?
Bagel?
That's your number one use of a microwave that you go to is a bagel?
Well, mine is more like in the hot chocolate realm.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so did you notice that your microwave was being used? Huh?
I bet they didn't notice that.
Hey, let me ask you this. Your house is underwater. Your microwave working still? No.
Nope.
They're destroying the evidence. I'm just saying.
It's undeniable.
It is undeniable.
I mean, what would be the purpose of sending Harvey into Houston to wreak havoc on it?
Wow, you are.
You know,
oh my
I'm
gosh,
just a
I remember
confused.
When I was young and naive.
Yeah, I'm just a
it
tad
is so
confused
clear.
As to what the end game is.
Because the global establishment, the military-industrial complex, wants to seize control and overthrow the United States. The big bankers are in on it. They're collapsing the economy to keep you afraid And there's a big global change because we've been at war. This is the longest war ever, you know. And they're bringing the troops into the United States. That's what's happening.
Okay.
And let me tell you, Barack Obama is never going to leave the Oval Office. I don't care what you say.
Wait, but
Donald Trump is wearing a mask. That's Barack Obama.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Man dressed as Spider-Man came into a Texas shelter yesterday for the Hurricane Harvey evacuees. The children went nuts. You know, you never think of this from the child's perspective. Imagine what this is like for a child to all of a sudden. It could either be really, really fun, or what a nightmare that would be to lose the house and be, you know, sleeping on the floor of a convention center for a while. Of course, probably better than the parents, but glad to see somebody was thinking about the kids. Also, listen to this. Local father of triplets saved another single father of triplets from his flooded home in a place called Orange, Texas. Nolan Greenwood is a single father of triplets. Last night, he was wrapping up some of his rescue efforts. And he heard that there was a single father of one-year-old triplets that was stuck in their home. He has been a single father of one-year-old triplets himself. He said, "We decided to do whatever we could to get the family safe. We were able to load them up and take them to high ground where they could be shipped to Lafayette or Alexandria. Mission complete." Now, this is what his best friend of 40 years said. He said it was actually really touching because he saved a life of a family that was the mirror image of his own. He had lost his wife about a year earlier, about this time. "Being a single dad with triplets has been really tough on him," said his friend. "It's pretty emotional. I don't mean to be a big baby here, but what are the odds? This is divine intervention. If that's not the definition of divine intervention, I don't know what is." Now imagine you are struggling. You're coming up on the first year anniversary of your wife's death, the birthday of your children, the triplets. You're a single dad of triplets. I mean, that's a lightning strike. How many single dads of triplets are there? So he's a single dad of triplets. He's struggling at this time. He happens to be, you know, helping people out. And he finds out that there is a dad in the area that they're serving who is a one-year single dad of triplets. And he has to go save. I mean, what are the odds? Seriously, only a government weather machine could have done that. Seriously.
Really the only answer.
Really the only answer.
I mean, the odds have got to be 3-1, 4-1, I would say. Almost. I mean, maybe not 4-1, but 3.5-1.
Come on. I mean, really, they might be a little.
Really higher?
Yeah, higher than that.
Interesting.
We'll have to get this story to geoengineeringwatch.org and see what they have to say about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because unless they say
Let's green light the fact that, yes, Harvey was manipulated so that they could get these two fathers together.
This is really an incredible story.
It is.
He said, "Doesn't matter what color or race you are. None of that matters out here. The whole point is you got to love your neighbor and get people out. We have to save each other."
So white people who are driving around in boats don't see black people and just drive past them? They go ahead and put them in the boat?
Well, unlike the enlightened New York City dwellers who do that with taxi cabs all the time, no, in racist Houston, that's not happening.
No,
isn't that weird? But why did you expect the white people had the boats and the black people didn't?
Well, I was about to do the inverse of that, with the black people driving the boat past the white people.
Right, but you didn't.
But I didn't.
And you started with the white supremacy there. Once again, the white person comes first. That's the kind of stuff that Pat will now be bringing you every day. Pat is, we've announced, in fact, I think we're announcing right now for the first time, that Pat is going to be doing his own show following this program, 3-hour Unleashed, Pat Unleashed. Because that chain around his neck is starting to chafe just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
So that'll be on Blaze TV and Blaze Radio starting a week from Monday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Can you
may be slightly less mentions of the word love.
Is it undeniable?
It's undeniable.
It's undeniable.
Take me with you. Take me with you.
Oh, gosh, I wish I could.
When I proposed this, Stu was like, I can go too, right? I can go. Isn't there something like a Stockholm syndrome that's supposed to happen with you guys in some
days? Oh, we really love our captor. She's really good to us.
Right, right. Okay.
I'm really excited for that. It's going to be on, if you're a Blaze TV subscriber, you get to watch it, and it's going to be on Blaze Radio every single day. Mm-hmm. The Pat Gray show. Yep. What do you know what you're calling it yet?
Pat Gray.
Something. Pat Gray. I think we're going out on a limb and calling it Pat Gray. Gray.
Oh my gosh! Right. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
What was very clever.
What made that show? I don't understand the choice.
We did a lot of focus groups. Yeah, uh-huh. We did. We went to a big New York agency and said, we have all of these options and we don't know where to. And they did some focus groups. And it cost about $500,000. And they said, "What do you say? We're going out on a limb." Either boxy but good, or just Pat Gray.
They went Pat Gray.
Yeah, I went with Pat Gray. Yeah.
Even though boxy but good was
tempting.
It was tempting. Well, we liked that one,
but we liked it. So Pat's going to be doing that. Yesterday, in case you've read, hopefully you you got it from my post, and you can believe whatever you want. Yesterday we made some changes here because, as I've been talking about for a while, and I said yesterday on the air that I met with some banking people just this week, and they were talking. I said, I think the days of business being done the way it's always been done is over. And I don't think people really understand that yet. And I've been warning you for a long time. There's going to come a time to where we're going to cross this line, and all of the changes that the Industrial Revolution brought over 100 years. Remember, they went from Americans went from a farming community to a culture living in the cities on top of each other with radio communication and automated machines and cars and everything else. That took about 100 years to flip the entire society over. There's going to come a time where it's going to happen in a 10-year period, and it will be as dramatic, if not more so. But in a 10-year period, I've been warning that time is coming, and I've been saying I don't know when that is happening. I still don't, but I believe I'm betting that we've just crossed the threshold. I think we've just crossed the Rubicon of change, and there's no way this is going to slow down or stop now, and it's going to affect everyone. And as I was talking to these bankers, they said that's happening in our business, that's happening, we said we're seeing this in every business, that if you don't disrupt yourself, and I mean seriously disrupt yourself, you're not going to make it. And we started talking about how does a bank invest when there is no such thing as like a CapEx expense, when you can't say, hey, I need, a loan for $2 million for this software system or for whatever, when 2 years in, that software system could be completely outdated and replaced by something that, is a free app. And he said, I don't know. We haven't figured that one out yet. So we're just in this really weird world of chaos, and we're making some changes here to reduce the chaos and try to explain your world and have it make sense. Going over to the Blaze Radio also is Jeffy. Jeffy is going to be operations for the Blaze Radio. And Jeffy, nobody really knows this. Jeffy is just an anchor around all of our necks.
Yeah. Well, they know that. Tell them all the time.
Oh, no, wait, that wasn't the story I was going to tell. Most people don't know this, but Jeffy, when I worked at WFLA, Jeffy was pretty much running the place. You were. And he is big behind the scenes. A lot of people say, I don't know what Jeffy does for a living. Mm-hmm. He actually is, he's responsible
that's
for
because
the,
you say that.
Yeah,
that's true. That's
the Blaze Radio, and he's going to fully take over that position beginning Monday or Tuesday as well.
Really cool. I will say on this, we've been talking about, you know, all these things that are going on. There's been, you know, the hurricane stuff we've been talking about. Can I eliminate you from this conversation for 1 minute? Can I take
is
Glenn back?
Sports? Sports? Is there a sports
there
analogy
is.
Coming? Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Houston in need of some good news. The Houston Astros have just acquired Justin Verlander.
Wow.
For their playoff run, which is a huge deal.
That's huge.
That is, they're already one of the best teams in the league. This is, I
knew they were thinking about that, but I didn't think it was possible.
It's a small piece here with what's going on in Houston, and it's hard to take any joy. But I mean, if you're a sports fan in Houston today, that is a huge move.
Yeah.
And just went down.
And the Astros, by the way, are coming back to town, and they're going to play at Minute Maid on Sunday, which seems really soon. I mean, they don't seem ready for that, but yeah, they're going to play at Minute Maid Park on Sunday. Start a three-game series.
I'm really interested to see how, now that the waters are receding, how, you know, because like half of that city, you know, not affected. More than half of that city, just not affected. But the parts that were affected are
affected quite badly.
What is going to happen? We should get somebody on that knows about, you know, black mold and what happens in cities like this. What is the percentage of that city that's going to be able to survive? I mean, what happened? I don't even remember this. What happened in New Orleans? Because New Orleans is the same kind of weather. How much how much was the mold problem in New Orleans? Or does anybody care?
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it was so many other bigger problems than that in New Orleans. And I'm sure the same thing is going to be happening here. I don't know the fallout of that. It had to be terrible.
I mean, they were tearing down neighborhoods. Must have been. I don't know if that was because of mold or just because of the water damage. I mean,
ugly.
It's going to be bad.
20 trillion gallons of rain fell on Houston. $97 billion estimated in destruction alone. The governor has 32,000 shelters across Texas. 94,000 homes are destroyed. 10,000 rescued by federal forces. That doesn't include the Good Samaritan rescues. I can't imagine what the Good Samaritans, just people helping each other out. I'm sure more than 10,000 with the federal.
47 dead at last count.
Yeah, the count is climbing faster now because they're going into the flooded homes and
really,
buildings.
Really sad.
That was creepy during Katrina where you see people walking down the street and you see the spray paint. You know, remember the circles with the X?
Yeah,
and then it had the number of dead in there.
I mean, imagine that job. These guys are going to be, the rescue workers, the recovery workers are just going to be walking around waiting for water to drain out of houses to see if there's people inside.
Awful.
I mean, the next couple of years there is going to be absolutely horrific.
Anyway, our thoughts or prayers are with them. And if you would like to help us, we're on our way to Houston this weekend, and we're bringing over all kinds of stuff. We're just loading up a DC-9 and flying it in because you can get jet fuel down here. I'm not sure how much fuel we can get for all of the volunteers and everybody else that we can get down there. But if you would like to help us with that, you can donate to mercury1.org. Mercury1.org. We sure would appreciate it. Now this. Have you ever wasted an afternoon or 90 minutes trying to book travel? That is what the average person spends if you're doing business travel. You spend about 90 minutes trying to book that. Wasting time, pricing flights, going back and forth, pricing the hotels. Now the only site that you need is Upside.com. And here's the Upside difference. You're going to save money because they bundle the flights and the hotels together for one pricing. And then they say, hey, I know you want to be here there's one block south, there's a hotel that will save you X number of dollars. Or for 1 hour delay, and you leave an hour later on a flight, you're going to save this amount. They bundle all of that together, which allows you to save more than you can save any place else. Plus, after that, they reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon every time that you buy a trip. So try Upside.com. Right now, if you use the promo code Beck, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card for your package purchase. That's promo code Beck. Get the $100 gift card for free. Rules and restrictions do apply. Minimum purchase is required. See site for complete details. But it is Upside.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly is coming up next. Has it been refreshing this week for anybody else? And maybe it's just because we've been busy, because we're in Texas and with everything else going on, that I haven't played the game of politics at all for the week. But for those who have just been paying attention to, you know, real things like, hey, let's save this person's life. Hadn't it been refreshing to not talk about politics for a week?
Yeah, it's a minor minor upside of this week.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it is a minor upside. But
yeah,
honestly, when you think back, I'm just so focused right now on not wasting time. Let's just do the things that actually matter and change the world or change our life and stop worrying about all the things that you don't have any control over.
It has reminded me that people are actually not horrible monsters all the time.
Right.
There actually are people who are pretty good.
And as we've seen in Texas, the vast majority are that way. If you want to get involved, you can join us at glennbeck.com, theblaze.com/TV, or make a donation, mercury1.org. Bill O'Reilly's next.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Congress returns from break, Hurricane Harvey, gas shortages, Antifa, Nazis, chaos. Or is it? Bill O'Reilly is here to narrow down the things that everything's been happening this week to the things that you need to pay attention to and what they really mean. Bill O'Reilly joins us right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. Nice to have him join the program once a week. Give us a recap of the things that maybe we have missed or the media has missed and his look of the news. We have to start with Hurricane Harvey and the aftermath. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, Beck, I gave you a nice plug on BillO'Reilly.com about the charity work you've been doing through Mercury charity.
Thank you.
So congratulations to you. It's
Thank
very
you.
Good work.
Thank you very much. So, Bill, what is, first of all, give me your thoughts on the overall state of the media this week with the coverage of Hurricane Harvey.
Well, I mean, it's two-pronged. The actual hard news coverage is pretty good. I think that the organization that the state of Texas showed, I think Governor Abbott really did a nice job.
He's amazing, Governor.
Calmed a lot of fears. The state looked in control of the rescue efforts. And unlike the Katrina situation where the whole city collapsed, Houston and Galveston and Corpus Christi got hammered, but they didn't collapse.
Yeah.
And so I thought the coverage reflected that. That's the hard news coverage. But then, of course,
go ahead.
They try to politicize it. They being the hate Trump media, and then it got devolved into chaos.
Okay, so let's, before we get into that, let me go here back to Texas. When you saw Katrina, within 3 days, society generally melts down of 3 days without, you know, a police force. When people realize, well, there's nobody coming to help people, bad guys within 72 hours start to roam the streets and they're like, I'm going to do whatever I want. We didn't really see that here. Is that a
no.
Is that a Texas thing? Is it a cultural thing? Is that a result of the waters being so high? The bad guys were stuck in their house. What do you think happened?
Well, I think it was an organizational thing where the state and the city and the counties, they didn't lose control of the process. So they were on the scene, visible. When you turned on your television, you said you saw law enforcement, saw National Guard, you saw administrators. And there wasn't a sense, as there was in New Orleans, that it was totally out of control. Mm-hmm. It was out of control with the rain. But other than that, the rescue efforts were coordinated. It seemed that there wasn't an opportunity for the bad guys. There are just as many bad guys in Texas as there are in Louisiana.
Sure, sure.
Right? It's unfortunate, but our society has 20% of people, I believe, that will commit evil when they can. 20%.
You believe it's 20%?
I do.
Why do you believe
that? It used to be lower because of the devaluation of religion, the secularism that's risen up where it's me first, what's good for me, the internet, certainly you can be as evil as you want and then other people find other people worse than you. All of these combinations have risen, the potential for destruction, I think doubled it since the greatest generation in the 50s.
Do you believe that there is something that is curbing that or a way to curb that? Because if we've doubled it since the greatest generation, which I believe you're probably right, what are we doing to change that? What's the force that stands against that, Bill?
Well, the force that stands against it is individual courage to do the right thing, because you don't have an organized force to stand against it. I mean, if you look at the amount of people who go to church weekly, I mean, that is, in my religion, Catholicism, it's dropped into the low 20s now. So we have become a secular society. We're France. So you don't have that. We used to have that religious bulwark that, you know, if you did something evil, it was a sin and you would pay a price. That's gone for most Americans. So it's an individual choice now. And the media condones a lot of evil stuff.
Did you see
this opioid thing is a great example of that. I mean, instead of holding individual people responsible for taking these unbelievably dangerous, pernicious drugs that harm their families and their children, we don't do that. It's always somebody else's fault. So that's, you know, where we are as a society. And when you have that, the potential for mayhem is amazing. And that's what you saw in Louisiana as you rightly pointed out, when the authorities weren't visible, when no help was coming, these 20% of evil people did evil. But you didn't see it in Texas because the authorities were there and the response was organized.
There was a story in the Huffington Post, going back to the media today, story in the Huffington Post today that talks about the racist rain in Houston, how the rain is only falling on the worst parts and the minority and the poorest sections, and they're the ones who are getting hurt. Can we go any further into insanity, Bill, than now saying that the rain is also somehow racist?
Yeah, I didn't see the article, but it doesn't surprise me that the far left is always going to politicize and always make a racial incident out of every single thing. However, it is true that poor people, no matter where they are in the world, do not have the resources that middle
yes.
class and wealthy people have, so that, you know, you live in a better neighborhood, You have a stronger house.
Well, except, hang on just a second. Wait. You know, except for in progressive places like New Jersey, that very, very progressive, where all of the rich people have built their houses right there by the freeways and the oil refineries and the chemical factories. You see that all the time in those very progressive places like New Jersey. That's where the rich people live, and they let the poor people have the nicer sections of New Jersey because they're more enlightened. Either that or that doesn't happen anywhere.
No.
Okay, look, go ahead.
The point that everybody should understand is that this country is very generous. All right, we're the most generous people on earth, the individual Americans, okay? And that will help everybody who needs help, but the media will always make it into somebody's bad, and it's probably conservatives who are bad, or capitalism that's bad, or Republicans that are bad, and they'll tie it in. I mean, the best example this week was when Chris Cuomo of CNN went off on the global warming stuff. And Kellyanne Conway had a pretty good idea. He said, yeah, you want to, you know, knock that off for, you know, a couple of weeks. We'll get back to it. But let's, you know, save the people that need to be saved now instead of politicizing it, Chris. But they can't help themselves, Beck.
Bill, when you look at everything that has happened this week, you know, you had, I think it was Slate had an article out yesterday about how there's nothing special happening here in Texas. People are animals, and when they're afraid and there's a disaster, they bind together. That is not what happens with animals. That is not what happens in every society. When there's a disaster, it's very easy to go into dog-eat-dog, kill or be killed. That's the natural animal instinct. When you see what's happening, where people are just coming in from all over and helping, and the way people are behaving right now, is that a learned trait, or is that the natural animal man?
Well, I think it's a learned trait. I mean, I think people who are raised in homes that say to their children, look, it's not all about you. So when you get an opportunity to help somebody, you do it. And that is the majority still in America. And I don't want to paint too ghastly a picture of this country. I will stand by my
20%.
Premise that 20% of us are evil or capable of evil. But the others are very, you know, helpful, and particularly in the small towns, and they band together to help people. And that's what you're seeing in Texas.
What did the press miss that you thought, this is the point this week?
It was more of my job, basically, is to call out irresponsibility. So that's where I'm focused in on. And I thought, the CNN White House correspondent, Zeleny, I think his name is, when he got on the air and said that Trump has no empathy and was speaking just to his crew, and that's a quote, I just said to myself, you know what? You're an idiot. You're a hard news reporter. What are you, reading somebody's heart now? He has no empathy? And he makes a statement to the nation, and that's just talking to his crew? That's the most blatant stupidity, and it just shows the out-of-control bias that's in place at CNN and other news organizations.
I will tell you.
So that's the kind of stuff that I saw, you know, rather than, you were much closer to it than I was, you know, the heroism that was going on, and it was plenty of that.
I will tell you that, I don't stand where you stand on Donald Trump. I'll praise him when he's right and criticize when I think he's wrong. But he's my president, but he's not my guy per se. I will tell you this. I about blew gasket after gasket this week when I saw the press doing things like worried about Melania's shoes. First of all, every woman in the country should be saying, how did she walk across the White House lawn in 5-inch stilettos, let alone going down there? Who cares? The president wasn't getting right into boats. She knew she wouldn't be getting into boats. She'd step off the tarmac, out of the plane, go someplace. They'd talk. They'd get back on the plane.
What is the problem?
But that's what I mean about it. It doesn't matter what the federal government's response was. If the federal government's run by Trump, it's going to be bad. We'll find a way to make it bad. We wake up in the morning and we say, how can we make Trump look bad so we can get him out of office? That's what's going on. That's what's going on. These news agencies are committed to destroying him. Go ahead.
When we come back, Bill O'Reilly, on the other things that have been happening, for instance, the tax reform the president has talked about this week, North Korea launching another missile, and the effects of not only Hurricane Harvey in gas and oil and what that could mean down the road, but also we now have another hurricane barreling in. This one is Hurricane Irma. It looks like it's tracking today to go through, as Joe Bastardi told us yesterday, through Puerto Rico or Hispaniola and do some real damage. There are also some charts that are showing it maybe going up into Florida, possibly the Carolinas, and some actually showing it going into the Gulf. What should we do to prepare for that? When we come back with Bill O'Reilly, our sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. Your windows have the biggest impact on the look and the feel of your home. Blinds.com, they're going to help you transform your home with their customer service, which is absolutely the best. You go onto their site, and if you know exactly what you're looking for, it's so simple. You go in and say, I'm looking for blinds. I like these. You can price them out. They'll show you how to measure. You measure them. If you want to see a sample of the blinds, you want to make sure it's the right color, the right texture, or whatever, they'll send it out to you in advance. You get them after they have been cut for you. If they're wrong because you mismeasured, doesn't matter. They will replace them and do it right the next time. This is a well-oiled machine. I have such respect for this company. It's why they can get it right, why they keep growing, and why they are now the biggest seller of blind shade shutters, drapes online. Blinds.com, changing the way you look at and through your windows. Now through today, September 1st. Is today? It is, isn't it? Now through today, September 1st, get 20% off site-wide at Blinds.com with the promo code Beck. Whether it's one room, your whole room, just go to Blinds.com. Promo code Beck. Save 20% right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So let's look at the political fallout here, Bill. What do you think, joined by Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, what do you think the political damage is on any side? I think the real political damage this week has been done to the media. I think the media is seen for what they are, a grotesque distortion of what's really important. I think even people who don't like Donald Trump kind of watched the media and went, give it a rest, guys. I mean, geez, for love of people, people are dying and struggling. And I think they wanted to see the good news. They wanted to see people coming together. And I think the media exposed themselves even deeply, even to their own side, if you will. And I think that's the one that has the hardest fallout from this. Do you disagree, or where am I wrong?
No, I'm a fact-based guy. So let's look at two facts, all right? And this will, I think, back up what you're saying. Number one, the ratings on cable in prime time for the coverage of Hurricane Harvey have been mediocre. Right? People did not flood in to watch this coverage. Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
All right. Now, why? I don't know. But when I was in the chair at 8 o'clock at Fox, we would have doubled what they did, because in every hard news situation, we did tremendous numbers. People came in because we did a factual presentation. So on all three of them, people just didn't watch very much. Then on Thursday, a poll came out, Fox News poll. And it asked the 1,000 registered voters, who do you think's a bigger threat to the country, white supremacists or the media?
Wow.
And it was close. It was about 47-40 white supremacy won. But then when you factored in, the people who said both, it got 49, the media to 47 white supremacists. So there's no doubt that Americans, all right, and I'm going to let the far left, because they like what's happening to the media, because the media is on their side now. But most Americans aren't ideological, and they know the fix is in. Whether it's a storm, whether it's a healthcare debate, whether it's Trump, you know, wearing a hat, it doesn't matter. They know they're not going to get the truth. They're going to get some preconceived, let's get Trump, as I talked about last segment. So anyway, you're right in the sense that the media is damaging itself by being foolish. And I don't think it's ever going to come back. I don't think this cycle, I think this people have another alternative they didn't have 5 years ago. They have their machines. They go to their computers and go on whatever website they want to get on and get the news that way. So when you have that convenience, why go to a you know, a vehicle that doesn't tell you the truth? So, why? I don't.
I don't either. So let me give you this story. Pat, you have the story from Google that just broke. And I don't know the site, etc., but this bothers me when you see sites like Der Stürmer, which I don't like at all, but can be just taken off the internet because a guy gets up in the morning, in his own words, watch the interview with him on Vice, in his own words, got up in the morning and decided they're not going to be on the internet anymore. It's kind of a spooky thing. Here's the latest from Google today.
The site Liberty Conservative, which I'm not familiar with at all, is saying that Google sent them a message that if they don't take down one of their articles that Google considers hateful, Google is going to choke off all their ad revenue. They'll lose all of it. So it seems like extortion. It seems like censorship.
So what happens there, Bill? Because we are moving into
it. I mean, I have to see what the article is. I mean, you certainly can't have an article anywhere.
They did not link the article.
Yeah, you can't have an article that says you should attack and hurt people. You can't have that. That's why this guy at Dartmouth got in trouble, this Antifa guy, the professor at Dartmouth, who got chastised by the president of that Ivy League university.
Okay.
Because he was basically saying, if you're an Antifa guy, you can prepare for violence.
So back in just a second with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. DACA is in the news today. DACA is the Barack Obama mandate that says we're not going to go after, you know, children who have been here and the Dreamers, and we're just not going after them. This is something the president said he would stop on day one. And then in February, he said, DACA is a very, very difficult subject for me. To me, it's one of the most difficult subjects I have because you have all these incredible kids in many cases, but not in all cases. And in some cases, they're having DACA and they're gang members and they're drug dealers, too. But you have some absolutely incredible kids. I would say mostly, end quote. OK, so there are 10 states now that have threatened to sue the federal government if they don't stop DACA. And they're 10 days away from this this drop dead date of the states coming together and saying, we're going to sue you unless you stop this. The White House could announce something today, but I don't think he's going after DACA. Do you, Bill?
I do. I think he'll do a modification of it. And this is where Kelly comes in, the chief of staff. This is what he does. Remember, General Kelly was the head of National Security, of ICE, of Homeland Security. He knows this inside and out. So it's his policy that's going to be announced, not Trump's policy, because Trump doesn't know what to do. If he knocks out all these kids and says they have to go back, then you know what's going to happen. He's a racist, he's this, he's that. I mean, another cycle of this starts. So what I expect Kelly to do is some kind of nuanced thing. Say, look, we're going to revoke the Obama thing because it's just too broad. It's too general. But if you were a child and brought here by your parents and have been here for 25 years and a good citizen, I'm going to give you a chance to have a hearing on that. That's the way to handle it, with some nuance and some touch.
Sure.
Rather than do what Obama did, which is say, oh, you all can stay. If you're an MS-13 member, you can stay. I mean, come on. So,
but this is not what the people who, you know, the people who voted for Donald Trump, and I don't mean all of them, but some of the people who had real clout, they do not want that nuance.
I understand that, but he's got to govern. I mean, Trump has got to. What the problem with the president right now is that he's having a hard time governing.
Agree.
Because he can't get plurality, he can't get majority, he can't get support. And it's so bad, if he doesn't get this tax cut passed in the next 50 days, because that's all they have, Congress is all working before Christmas, he's done. He's got to get it done. He's got to get something passed. So he's got to be able to govern. And I understand campaign promises, and then, you know, I know Trump 30 years, I know what he was out and he was doing. But you know, if he comes in and he says, look, I'm just going to be, it's my way or the highway, and it's going to be the highway for him. He's got to govern. He's got to convince people. And this tax cut, this is everything now. And if he doesn't get this done, then all the independents and all the people who aren't pro-Trump is about 33-35% of the population right now, voting population. That's who's pro-Trump. There's about 20% persuadable.
Yes.
And that put him in the White House. Okay. But if he loses the 20% persuadable, then he's done.
And the 20% I believe that 20% persuadable are people who are just hardworking. They're not, you know, they don't want to stand with the communists. They don't want to stand with the Nazis. They don't want to shove everybody out of the country. They just want common sense, rule of law, and give me a break. Get out of my bedroom. Get out of my bank account.
And the break is the tax cut. And that is everything now for Donald Trump and his administration. So I do believe that he's going to do some kind of nuance on the DACA thing. I could be wrong on that. I'm looking at it from a Kelly point of view, because I know Kelly is behind the whatever's going to happen. You know, that's how you have to analyze this. You got to say, okay, who's the driver on this? And the driver isn't President Trump. The driver is Kelly. So that's what I expect to happen.
I would think the driver is also his family. I mean, you know, I think his family, and I don't think Donald Trump actually believed, you know, they're all coming in here or they're all racist. I mean, they're all rapists. I don't think that's not how he.
No, but he said that to me. He said that to me. That soundbite came when I did the interview with him. And the context of that soundbite is that we were talking about people smuggling people into the United States, taking people from Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, and bringing them across Mexico and into the USA. That was the context of Trump's remark. And he says, a lot of these guys are rapists. A lot of these guys are brutal. He was talking about the trafficking, not the guy tilling the fields in Monterey. And it just got so distorted by the media, who hates him, that it became true.
Wait, so
Bill, repeat a lie often enough, it's a truth. Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi minister of information. Okay? And so when he said it to me, and I went on the show, Beck, you may remember, I said, look, that's not what he said.
I do remember that, but I do also remember, and I'm fuzzy on this, I'll have to go back, but I do believe he also said those things in press conferences and speeches.
Did he say to you first, Bill? Because I know he said that in his announcement speech, he said that.
No, but I did the first interview after the announcement. The first one was done by me. That is Palatial Tower. And one of the things was the wall. And then off the wall question came, well, why do you need a wall? And then he said, because we have these terrible people smuggling poor souls into the USA, and they're raping them and abusing them and all that. And then the media just took that and said, oh, Trump's calling all Mexicans rapists. I said today, this week on my podcast, that I have a very hard time covering Trump, because I see sometimes Trump does bad things. Sometimes he makes bad mistakes. It's my job to point that out.
But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because I know how hateful and dishonest the media is towards him. So actually, it's harder for me to cover him than it was to cover Bush the Younger or Obama, because that circumstance existed to some extent with Bush the Younger, but it's not nearly to the extent. So I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt a lot of times when I, in the past, wouldn't. I was tough on him in my interviews in the campaign. If you go back and look at them, they're the toughest interviews he did.
So when you
one time he in Detroit, he said I should see a psychiatrist.
Right. I do remember that. And I do remember thinking, finally, somebody has said it. So, Bill,
he
let
does
me go
speak
back.
The truth.
Let me go back to tax cuts. Because it's not just the media that doesn't like him. He has isolated himself from the Washington power players as well, and I'm perfectly fine with that myself. But he needs some coalition on Capitol Hill for tax reforms. Can he get that done?
You know, I don't know. I mean, who knows? But when you're going to Mitch McConnell, the most powerful guy in the Senate, hey, you're an idiot. It makes it a little hard,
right?
So what I expect is, and he's already doing it, now he's going to have a little leadership meeting at the White House. Again, this is a Kelly thing. He's going to bring in McConnell and Speaker of the House, Ryan, and he's going to bring in Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and for a little tete-a-tete. Okay. I don't know whether he can. I know that McCain's always going to give him a hard time. Always. 100% hard time from John McCain because he really hates him. McCain hates Trump. So you'll always get a hard time there, and that's what derailed the healthcare thing. But he might be able to pick off three or four Democrats to vote for the tax cuts. That's all he needs if he can get most of the Republicans. So it's going to be high drama, no doubt.
Last question on North Korea. North Korea fires a missile. They were very strategic. They flew that missile really high up in the atmosphere. So it wasn't technically violating the airspace of Japan, but a ballsy move. They're going into the worst. They've had the worst crop season they've had like in 50 years in North Korea. They're going into probably famine this winter, and they're going to have a hard cold winter as well. They can't sell anything overseas. This makes North Korea a little cagey. I think that's why they're pushing as hard as they can. What should be done on North Korea at this point?
Just wait. Squeeze them economically. Pound China not to buy their coal. That's the only thing they can really sell now. But just wait.
We should not strike nor respond to these missiles, right?
Not yet. If they kill somebody, you're going to have to respond.
Let me say this. Unless they strike first, should we be thinking about anything military, involving our military?
You know, you can do a few surgicals like they did in Syria with the poison gas situation. You can do that, but not a whole massive attack on the country.
Bill O'Reilly, what do you have planned for Labor Day weekend?
You know, I wrote an interesting column for my BillO'Reilly.com deal on the value of work and how it's made this country the greatest country in history of civilization. I'm going to reread Killing England out September 19th because I have to go on all the shows in a couple of weeks to promote the book. And this plays right into the statue thing because they're coming for Washington and Jefferson and would tell you what those men were really like. Did you read any of the book yet?
I have. It's really good. You're trolling for compliments, and I'm not going to give them to you. But yes, I did. Real quick.
Can you pre-order it on the Blaze, by the way?
I don't think so. We sell.
Right, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BillO'Reilly.com. Do it on BillO'Reilly.com. You get a 50% off the other Killing books. Okay. That's a great deal for you.
Yeah, it's a great deal. If you hadn't shipped them to me by bulk just to get me to give them away, use them as kindling, something. But BillO'Reilly.com, his new book on the American Revolution is phenomenal, and it comes out in a couple of weeks. Right. You can pre-order it now at BillO'Reilly.com. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks for having me.
Our sponsor.
Is it true that if you took one copy of each of the books Bill has written over the past year, you could build the entire wall between here and Mexico?
Yes, it would also reach to the moon and back 47 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how many books that guy's written.
I did two quick stories on Bill O'Reilly. About 10 years ago, I am sitting in his office, and he's like, Beck, the books, man. Just stop writing all the books. And I'm like, no, Bill, it's actually a really good thing. And I explained to him, you know, all the history and, you know, yada, 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 and how the book business worked and that conservatives really read a lot and they'll build a library if you give them the historic knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. Bill O'Reilly, you got to stop with the books. Okay. And then 5 years ago, Beck, nobody's going to watch TV online. Nobody's going to watch TV online. Okay. So anyway, here's our sponsor this half hour. Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe is having a Labor Day sale right now. Save big on Liberty's number one rated safes, including the Lincoln series. You can save up to $680 on the big Lincoln 50. This is the one that I have in my house. These are the safes that we use here at the studios for all of our rare. I don't know if I should be telling you all this, but it could be the safe, or it could be the one that, you know, they tried to open in the Italian job, which they couldn't open at all. Anyway, Liberty Safe is where we keep all of the things that are, you know, Abraham Lincoln's, part of Abraham Lincoln's coat that he was killed in, Mary Todd Lincoln's dress that she wore to his funeral, you know, signed documents, one of a kind from Lincoln, from Hitler, from Washington, notes on slavery from actual slaves. Where do you keep those things? We keep them in Liberty Safe in the big Lincoln 50. Peace of mind, lifetime warranty, in-home delivery and installation by over 350 dealers nationwide. The installation is important. Bolt that baby to the foundation. Nobody's moving it. Nobody's taking it. Nobody's getting your stuff. Nobody is getting your guns. In my case, I like to also keep our remote control in there for the kids. It is Liberty Safe, their biggest sale yet. Now during their Labor Day sales event, you can save big, home of the best built safes on the planet. Right now, $20 a month on approved credit or 12-month interest-free payments only at LibertySafe.com. LibertySafe.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We have Todd Staples. He's going to be joining us here in a few minutes. He's the president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. Reason why we bring him on is, you know, what is the plan here in Texas alone? You're driving around and you're sometimes, last night a friend was 3 hours in line at a gas station. Pat said he was driving in today and he was having a hard time. Was it you?
The Stu.
Mm. Having a hard time finding a gas station that actually had gas in the pumps. And you took an Uber in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a statewide shortage. It's just like
the Metroplex, right?
And it's some stations. Like there are gas stations with gas. It's just that, you know, people, you know, get there, they make a run and they make sure they fill up right away. And it's drying up individual gas stations, which is just, it's just turning into a big pain in the butt.
And it's interesting because then there was a rumor last night that this is all a creation of the media and that they created this hysteria, which created the gas lines. And it was a media-created event, and actually we should have plenty of gas. So
we're going to find out.
I don't even know.
We'll find out. I will tell you this. Media-created event? I don't know. Here's the thing. When somebody starts to say things like yesterday, hey, I stopped at four gas stations.
And they didn't have gas.
And they didn't have gas. That is something that spreads like wildfire. You don't need the media.
That's for sure.
You have everybody on Twitter and Facebook going, hey, here's a picture of the fourth gas station that I went to today. Look what's on the pump, out of gas. Then media picks that up. You pick that up. We all do. You're right. It doesn't help when everybody says, I've got to go get my lawnmower filled. Well, that's going to help run out of gas. But there is a disruption in the
I think there is.
In the lines.
Yeah, I think there is.
Now, They're fixing that, and we're going to get to the bottom of that and what that's going to mean no matter where you live, coming up.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
So the alt-left Antifa is growing here in the United States. In Philadelphia, they just had a big meeting. They're going to eradicate 21st century slavery. What is that? Well, they want a revolutionary abolitionist movement. They're raising funds now for an underground railroad to help people escape the state because, quote, the Civil War was never resolved and the system of slavery just transitioned into the prison industrial complex. So they are going to help, I guess, prisoners escape in an underground railroad. And they are basing themselves in Philadelphia because of Philadelphia's rich revolutionary tradition. They're calling now, they had workshops, and they're calling the police our enemies in blue. They're seeking to abolish all gender. They're calling on members of Antifa to steal tools and lands so they can build their own state independent of the United States, and they plan to build local defense teams and councils. They also are extolling the revolutionary movement in Syria. They say that they are going to build a worldwide movement towards communism. They're dressed up in all black. They're carrying machine guns. The video is absolutely astounding. It looks like an ISIS video. And that's what the press says is fine. Antifa. That's going to come back and backfire on them. America is not a place that looks at communists and say, well, they're better than the Nazis, or the Nazis, they're better than the communists. No. We made this decision a long time ago. For 50 years, we fought this war. First against the Nazis, then against the communists. They're both bad. And it seems like you can't get that message anywhere in the United States. Instead, where's that message coming from? Places like Poland. Poland is more United States than the United States is. You don't believe me? I have the Deputy Prime Minister of Poland on with us, and we begin right now.
I will make a stand, I will raise my voice, I will hold your hand, cause we have won. I will beat my drum, I have made my choice, we will overcome, cause we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Poland's Deputy Prime Minister, Mateusz Morawiecki, is with us. Welcome, Prime Minister. How are you, sir? Do I call you Deputy Prime Minister? I'm not sure what the protocol is.
Both is okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I'm very fine. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you're here in the United States. I know you've been talking to key business leaders and political leaders in the United States. And I appreciate you taking some time out and talking to me. I am impressed with the former Soviet republics because they know what's happening in the world. Can you tell me your view from across the water on the things that you're seeing happening here in America? And I don't want to make this about politics, but what are you seeing that is growing up within our own ranks that concern you?
Sure. Now, like even these days, a very big military exercise starts in Belarus, done by Mr. Putin, which is indicating the how dangerous and how aggressive Russia may be. And we should not forget about this Russian hacks on emails and all what they are doing in the hybrid and conventional war in Ukraine is indicating that this is still their main way how they do politics. Like today, Poland is a safe country. We are a strong country, but we need very close cooperation. Like we have historically, all the way from Kosciuszko and Pułaski, we have fought during the War of Independence, and then in our soldiers are in Iraq and in Afghanistan together, hand in hand with American soldiers. And all the idealists who think that maybe we should not think about the defense policy too much because everybody wants to live in a peaceful world. It's great, but this is not true. This is one aspect how I think that the proximity to Russia, we can explain how difficult it is. And you know, the proximity is really like if there was between New Jersey and New York. We can feel the hot breath of Russian bear at our neck.
Tell me what that means. Talking to the Deputy Prime Minister of Poland, tell me what that means to you. Because here in America, we've been so isolated, and our universities have stopped teaching that. Well, I don't know if they ever did, but teaching that communism is bad and a killer that is only surpassed by disease. You lived through it. The people of Poland lived through it. Yeah, tell me what communism, what America should know about communists.
Of course, we lived through this, and well, like I myself was imprisoned, and my father, who was fighting in the Solidarity times during the 80s, he was imprisoned for a long time, and the transformation which started in 1989 was by far not complete, because the same, I just give you an example, the same judges who have been passing sentences on the fighters for freedom in the 80s, like my father or myself or many of my friends, the same judges are today judges in the Supreme Court. This is what happens in if there is not a real deep transformation in a system, which was okay, because there was not any bloody revolution. Yes. In 1989-1990. But then I ask everybody to understand why we would like to have this second transformation today, and why we have the worst judiciary system amongst all the 28 countries of the European Union, and we want to deeply reform this. And then the counterattack of all our enemies is so visible. And who is amongst those attacking us? Of course, post-communists and communists are there, because they feel very well in a system which is vague, which is not based on meritocracy, which is based on corporationism, as we call it in Poland, lots of dependencies on different corporations, mm-hmm. lawyers, judges, and so on. And we don't like. We want the system to be more republican, more democratic, and this is why we have so many incomprehensions around us and misunderstandings.
Are you concerned at all, Deputy Prime Minister of Poland, are you concerned at all about the rise of heritage groups, as they're calling themselves, you know, the Jobbik Party or the Golden Dawn here in the United States, the Nazi Party? We've got extremists on both sides, and it's in some ways beginning to look like the 1930s or 1920s in Europe, all over the world. Are you concerned about the rise on both sides?
I am concerned about the rise on both sides, and in Europe it's in particularly visible on the left side, but there are also some examples on the right, like Marie Le Pen in France. Therefore, first prerequisite for safe Poland, safe Europe, safe world is to prevent terrorist attacks and to really deal with the mass migration policy like the Australia did or like America did. Australia has managed to stop the flow by securing own borders, and the European borders are not secure. Millions of refugees come every year to Europe, and then you can see all those pictures of terror attacks all over the place, in particular in France or Germany.
Why is
Poland is safe? We don't have it.
Right. Why is Poland the if I'm not mistaken, you're the only main country in Europe that has not been hit by a terrorist attack. Why?
Yeah, that's correct. Absolutely. Recently in Spain, in Barcelona, before that in the UK, in many places, and France, and in Italy and Germany. So we are the only of the six countries which did not experience such terrible terror act. This is because we treat security with very seriously. We do not allow for the Islamic migrants and Islamic refugees to come without a very thorough scrutiny by our social security and so on. By our secret service and our special services dedicated for this those activities. And this is the main reason. Germans and French. Our friends and partners, they have allowed for virtually millions of those refugees, and among them there are many decent people, good people, but unfortunately there are many not so decent people, very bad people, and they are attacking in all sorts in many different ways. They are attacking our civilization. They hate Christianity. They hate Europe. So I think that we have the right. We are the heirs of the Christian civilization, and we have the right and obligation to defend it for next generations. So we can allow for migrants, and for instance in Europe, in Poland we do our job too, because we have accommodated 1.5 million Ukrainian population. Many of them are refugees from eastern part of Ukraine, where there is war because the Ukraine was attacked by Russia. So we are doing our part. We contribute to calming down the situation, and we go the middle route. We try to persuade our partners in Brussels that this refugee policy is very dangerous for the whole Europe, and we have to preserve our borders. We have to have safe countries.
I'm talking to the Deputy Prime Minister of Poland. How concerned are you that if the world doesn't wake up, we are going to be reaping the seeds that are being sown right now, and perhaps that ends in yet another global conflict?
Well, this is probably to your opening remarks. The situation is probably not that bad as it was in the 30s with Hitler and Stalin and weak democracies and so on. But I am concerned that the situation might go in the wrong direction. Yeah. Therefore, there is this old Latin saying, "Si vis pacem, parabellum," which is, you know, we have to be well armed and well well equipped, and we have to contribute to military spending. And by the way, Poland is not amongst the five richest countries in NATO, but we make sure to be one of the five who comply with the 2 percentage points of GDP military spending rule, and which was actually realized by President Trump when he was in Warsaw just 2 months ago. And we are a very, very reliable ally. And I think the Article 5 of the Washington Treaty is a very important element of the whole architecture of peace going forward. Another one is also dealing with the security of our own borders, like America does, like Australia does. But in Europe, many countries are not doing their part. So our advice to our European friends is to really concentrate on our own security and to eliminate all those extremes from the left and from the right. Some of them, they have to be brought to the table and persuaded in a civilized way, but some of them who are really extremists in France and in Germany, some Islamic parties and so on, they should be taken under microscope and should be so, we should be so vigilant about them as never before.
Poland's Deputy Prime Minister, Mateusz Morawiecki, thank you so much, sir.
If I could add just one sentence, on behalf of the government of the Republic of Poland, I would like to express my sincere condolences on the terrible tragedy caused by the Hurricane Harvey. So we are very sad about this, and if the government of Poland could do anything to help our American friends, the people from America, we could do everything possible at our end.
Gosh, that's nice to hear. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And
thank you.
I can tell that it was heartfelt. Thank
Thanks
you.
For having me.
You bet.
It's a class act.
Yeah, really cool.
And I think you can hear, why is he over here in America? What are they doing? Obviously, they are worried about the bear. Obviously, they're mm-hmm. worried about what is coming on their own border. And they are looking to find some allies in America. They are more America today than we are. And they are looking for some allies in America. They'll say, hey, is anyone going to help us stand? Because the big bad wolf, or in this case, the big bad bear, is coming back. Sponsored this half hour is Casper. Casper Mattress. When you are tired, you want to go home and you want to fall right to sleep. You don't need to be tired anymore. You don't need to toss and turn. You need the perfect mattress. What you need is a Casper. Casper has two high-tech foams that guarantee that you have a great night's sleep, sleeping cool, comfortable, and fully supported every single night. Ships for free in a box that's really small. You're not going to believe that's the mattress, and you can pick it up at the door and carry it in, open the box, and cut the cord on it, if you will, when it's where you want the mattress, because it springs out to be a mattress, and it's really unbelievable. They've cut out the middleman. They've made a better mattress. They've made it much more affordable, and they've made it easy for you to try it out in your home for 100 nights. And if you don't like it, you don't love it, refund to every single dime that you paid, and they come and pick the mattress up. Casper Mattress. This is the way to sleep. Try yours for 100 nights with free nights, free shipping and returns. It's Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, promo code Beck. Terms and conditions do apply.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Wasn't that nice to hear from, a world leader? I mean, it almost brought me to tears. Here's the
incredible
Deputy Prime Minister of Poland at the very end wanted to squeeze in, hey, anything that we can do for you. I mean, that is so nice.
It's so rare from people in other countries to say good things about the United States and to feel badly for us when tragedies happen here. So that was really nice.
Quite a juxtaposition against the Charlie Hebdo thing from earlier.
Oh, my gosh.
Where they were calling everyone in Texas Nazis and cheering for their deaths.
That's amazing. But
guys, we knew those guys were not good people.
I didn't know they were that bad. That's pretty bad.
You saw what they were printing about the Prophet Muhammad and Jesus and everybody else,
but they don't
right?
believe in God, right? Like, right, if you're an atheist, offending Muhammad or Jesus is nothing. Right? These are real people that are actually dying right now. They're calling them Nazis and cheering on their deaths.
Yeah,
that is a totally.
They have no reason to do that. Yeah. I guess it's just the stereotype of Texas that everybody here. Right.
Wait, so they have a reason to make Jesus?
Well, yeah,
yes, they don't. They don't believe
having
in Jesus.
Sex with Muhammad.
Yes,
they don't believe in him.
Yes,
yeah, but that's not a reason to do it, other than they like to just stir it up.
They like to mock religion, which they think is fake. And so, like, they have no reverence. We have a sanctity element when it comes to religious figures. They don't. So it's understandable. What we did with them is not say, we love what you stand for. We said, we understand the human torture that has gone on in your company. We stand with you because we're human beings and we hate to see other human beings be tortured. We don't have to agree on religion. We don't have to agree on any topic, but we still feel, because we're members of humanity, and we feel that with you.
Yeah.
And all they had to do.
I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I guess I just had such low expectations of them that I'm like when I saw that yesterday, I'm like, yeah, it's Charlie Hebdo, of course.
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, I thought they were I did not think they were good people. Right. And now I think they're even worse.
Yeah.
So I'm just surprised that if you can't stand up and say, man, a lot of people are dying, completely innocent people against a natural disaster that aren't Nazis. You're not only cheering on their death, but you're also calling them basically the worst people that have ever lived.
I guess
without any evidence at all.
Yeah. The difference is I thought they were bad to about the 100th power, and it seems they're bad to about the 10,000th power.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
It's just a degree of badness that we that we're discussing here.
And exponential growth is quick. So when you go from 100th power to 10,000th, that's a big jump.
It's a big jump.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah. It's pretty big. I'm going to Houston tomorrow, and we're delivering pallet after pallet after pallet of food and water and supplies for the people of Houston. If you would like to help us out, we sure would appreciate it. Your donations are welcome. All of it will go to the food and supplies. Send it to mercury1.org, mercury1.org, and we'll bring back some stories over the weekend on social and back on Tuesday. The head of the oil and gas in Texas to tell us what all this means coming up.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
A guy I am guessing is very, very busy. We don't want to waste his time nor yours. Todd Staples is with us. He's a president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. There is a problem here, or at least a perceived problem, that we are having a shortage of gas. I can tell you that a friend of mine was at a gas station for 3 hours waiting in line for gas. Our refineries have gone down. This is going to affect, obviously it's affecting the state of Texas, but it's going to affect the price of gas and the price of oil all around the country and perhaps the world. Todd is joining us now to tell us what's happening. First of all, Todd, thanks for all of your help this week. I imagine you guys are extraordinarily busy this week.
It has been unprecedented, Glenn. The catastrophic proportions have had far-reaching impacts, and I think you summed it up well. The good news is the men and women in the industry, the frontline workers, they have a plan. There is a recovery plan that they are implementing. Texas is important. Our refining capacity along the Texas Gulf Coast that was severely sidelined because of Harvey from south of Corpus all the way to the Beaumont, Port Arthur area has taken capacity to refine crude offline. It has gone beyond that, though, into the entire fuel distribution system. Our terminals are impacted. The pipelines are impacted. Even roads remain closed. I think I-10 is still closed in portions to get product from Louisiana trucked into Texas. And so the good news is that there is a systematic process that is underway. The Coast Guard has reopened the Port of Corpus. I think Galveston and Houston are seeing some marginal improvements there. Refineries are being attempted to be brought online, starting where the storm hit first in the Corpus area and then working its way up. Safety is of paramount importance as this is conducted, as you can imagine, for the workers that have to go into these dangerous areas. But also, these are very complex systems, and they are working to bring them up in the proper fashion so that we can return to normalcy as soon as possible. But it is a process, just like the water receding and the power being back online and the millions of people that are being displaced and have to repair their homes to get back in to get normal. That same process is occurring here.
People don't understand the oil and the gas and the chemical process. When you come down to Texas, you'll see these refineries, and they look like cities. Each refinery looks like a gigantic city with one building on fire because they're burning off the excess. But petroleum is in everything. It is in absolutely everything, all the way down to what do you think keeps your little your pills? What do you think that is on the outside of the pills that keep in the medicine? That's a petroleum product. And these plants are, as you said, extremely complex, like nuclear power plant complex for safety. How long does it take to walk in and turn the key, however it is, to fire one of those things back up and get back into full production again?
So a lot of it is determined based upon the severity of the impact to the particular facility. But if things are normally okay, it takes a few days to get that refinery up and running. So you have some refineries that process has begun. And we have people that are stationed in the emergency command center that you see Governor Abbott on TV from regularly that are getting real-time updates to provide to the governor on the process there. So we will know just as soon as possible. Those that have suffered damage, they're going to take longer. But the system is designed to start getting input and product from other states. Governor Abbott and our state agencies have requested significant amounts of waivers for the types of fuel, Glenn, the transportation hours that can be used, the taxing consequences and issues that all come into play, that a lot of these things have been restricted. Our partners have been extremely responsive, recognizing that, you know, if you want gas in your pickup or car, you expect it to be there. We expect it to be there as well. The fuel distribution system is complex, and so the process is being worked and the plan is being implemented is the good news.
What does this mean to the rest? The bulk of our audience is outside of Texas, obviously. What does this mean for the rest of the country? They're seeing gas prices go through the roof. How long before that gets under control? Any idea?
Well, some areas will receive relief quicker than others based upon just logistical challenges that you have to deal with. I think all of our leaders have stated that if consumers will go back to their normal buying patterns, that the pressure will be relieved sooner than later. For instance, you really probably need fuel for a couple of days rather than a couple of weeks. And we've heard of reports of people filling up everything they have. And just the reality is the product is being delivered. I talked to refineries this morning that are producing at maximum capacity. They're utilizing all of their resources to get to these impacted areas. But I think what this demonstrates, you know, President Trump has talked about energy dominance. Energy security starts with a robust domestic supply system, and this is what is being implemented. This is what's being conducted and being used. I think consumers across the country need to recognize that this storm was catastrophic. People are doing everything humanly possible to safely get these systems back online and these pipelines that supply fuel to the Northeast. And so they are literally working around the clock, and there is no timetable, I don't think, Glenn, that you can point people to and say, hey, tomorrow everything's going to be back to normal.
Are you concerned? My theory is, and I don't know if you're the right person to even talk to about this, but my theory is that as we have these plants offline, we're not buying more oil. I mean, we don't. We got to go through the reserves, and it's got to be an orderly system. So we've got stuff that is kind of built up that we've already bought, et cetera, that should have been refined all this week and parts of last week. Is this a big enough shock to the system to make the price of oil for any significant period of time go down that would destabilize things like Russia?
That is a big question.
Yeah.
And I would love to take that bait and to give you my opinion. But let me refer you to the American Petroleum Institute, who API.org, yep, and their EnergyTomorrow.org statement. They've got a hurricane response and market effect.
Okay.
And so I want, as far as market response, I want to get you to these economists that study these issues, and let them be the ones to answer that, because yeah, I think that'd be a more fair response rather than me giving you a partial answer.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your willingness to be candid on that. Is there anything that, before we let you go, that Americans need to know besides don't panic and bring your lawnmower to be gassed up? Anything Americans need to know or anything that we can do to help?
I think the things that Americans can do to help is to go back to your normal buying patterns, recognizing that this is a big storm and it has a big impact. Americans need to know that at every level of government to first responders at the local level and mayors and judges to the governor and the entire team in Texas to across the nation. People are working together to mitigate the disruption of their lives. I had calls from Louisiana counterparts this morning, Oklahoma counterparts yesterday. People are working together. So relief is on the way. It is a very complex process, and it's being done in a way that Americans can be proud, recognizing that their needs need to be met, and people are working to do that.
Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. God bless.
Great to be with you, Glenn.
You bet. Sponsor this half hour is Delta Defense. This is the United States Concealed Carry Association. These are the people that, you know, when you're carrying a gun, you have a great responsibility to keep it safe, to make sure that you're responsible, that you're following the law, et cetera, et cetera. But when you draw your gun, all of a sudden, you're going to be looked at, even if you're protecting your own home and your own family, you're going to be looked at by many people and many people who are lawyers as the problem, not the guy who broke into your house. This is where the USCCA comes in. Once you pull the trigger or draw a gun, in many places, the police have to arrest you, no matter what happened, and an investigation starts. If you are a member of the USCCA, here's what you get. 100% upfront coverage for criminal defense. Well, 100% upfront coverage for civil suits, bail funding. They also have 24/7 critical response teams. So it happens in the middle of the night. Somebody's in your house, 3 o'clock in the morning. You have to pull your gun. You shoot him. He lives. He dies. Doesn't really matter. Most likely you're going to be taken to the police station. You can get a hold of them 24/7. Make sure that you have the right local attorney to be able to help you and get this nightmare behind you. You protect your family against the bad guys, but who protects you from the attorneys? The USCCA, protectanddefend.com. Coverage starts at $13 a month. Plus, if you go there now and activate your membership, you're entered to win a brand new gun. Go to protectanddefend.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Donald Trump yesterday donated, according to CNBC, $1 million of his own money to Harvey efforts. We commend him for that.
That's really cool.
It's really cool. If you have $5, every dollar counts. And we sure would like you to donate at mercuryone.org. All of the money raised, every penny of the money raised, goes to the cause. And we would sure appreciate it if you would donate now at mercuryone.org. We're well over $1 million now just from the $5 and $10 donations that are coming in. And that a lot of that money is going directly to feed the people who are at the George R. Brown Convention Center. We're working with the organization that is providing the 25,000 meals every day beginning today. So we need your help. And you can do that at mercuryone.org. I'm going to be out in, I think, Galveston this weekend. We're loading up an airplane full of stuff because we're not sure we can get all the volunteers and everybody down and back. So we're loading up an airplane, and we are just bringing all kinds of food. And we'll give you some coverage on social on that so you can be a part of it. But please join us at mercuryone.org or at glennbeck.com. Also, next week, new season, new all kinds of new stuff. Pat and Jeffy are being reassigned. Pat, a lot of people don't know this about Pat, but if you're a longtime listener, Pat was the number one guy in Houston on KPRC for years. He is one of the best talk show hosts in America.
Really?
It's hard to believe.
That's
I know.
What they say.
I know.
I mean,
it's hard to believe.
Everybody's saying it.
So
who am I to deny it? I mean, I bow to their better judgment.
Yeah, right. I have. I've asked Pat.
Big man.
I've asked Pat if we could do the Pat Show. I'm not sure that's the name. I was also going for Boxy but Good.
Yeah, which is kind of strange, but
he's going to be doing that following this program on the Blaze Radio Network and on the Blaze TV Network. You'll be able to watch that, and that begins a week from Monday.
Originally, I was going to leave to sell facial cream, and then
didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
What do you mean? I thought it always worked out.
Sheriff Clark beat him to the punch.
I guess so many people are doing it.
Sheriff Clark
beat him to the punch.
Is that why he left? Because yes. it was a secret on why he left. I didn't realize it was a facial cream thing.
I saw on CNBC a stat that 80% of people now work in the facial cream industry. That's too many. You don't need that many people
all
in the industry.
Created.
Too many.
You know, look at that. Look at that. Wow, there's quite a glut of celebrities that are going into that. And Pat's not one of them.
No, unfortunately.
But that's because he's on TV every day, and everyone's like, if that's what the facial cream does, then
I don't want no part of that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. So that starts a week from Monday?
Yeah, a week from Labor Day. Some new shows coming to the Blaze TV beginning next week, and we'll be rolling some things out. We've been working on them for a long time. I have not been talking to you about them because, quite honestly, I'm sick of me talking about stuff. I just do it.
Tell me
what you're going to do. Just do it.
Yeah, we feel the same way.
Thank you. Hold it just a second. But you should know that also we're developing some new ways to write things. So we have the whole writing crew, all of the journalists and everything that work for The Blaze coming in, not next week, but the week after. And we may be covering some of this behind the scenes because I think people should see how things really work in the media and how we're trying to change things, because I think the media is completely broken on all sides. And there's a new front page, new story pages that are coming to theblaze.com the week of September 18th that I think are going to be helpful to you.
Really exciting. So Pat's show starts a week from Monday, and Jeffy's going to be working over at the Blaze Radio as well. And obviously we know the answer with Jeffy, but can we still bring Pat back on the show time to time? Pat, will you come back on? And
it depends on how he treats me. I want to see what the kind of kickbacks I get for for his show.
And Jeffy, will you come on, I guess, too, or whatever?
No, I'm not paying
kickbacks for anything, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I had a really good idea for
yes, you did.
Jeffy. It's a magic eight ball thing, but Pat, other than Stu, reminded me, this is radio, and it won't work on radio.
He wanted to paint his head like a magic eight ball.
I wanted to shave his head and then paint his head like a magic eight ball.
I don't have a problem shaving my head.
Well, I had two issues with it. It's a medium that communicates in audio, which I thought was and also we basically have Jeffy in blackface, which I thought was a bad thing to start a new show with.
Well, the other thing is you have to shake a magic eight ball. There's nobody in the world. You can't shake him with, you didn't get him up with a crane. So the shaking part would be impossible.
I'm just saying
you're, overweight.
Am I going to miss this. Join us. Have a safe weekend. Prayers for all in Houston.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.